Dr. Anthony Fauci had it. President Joe Biden had it. We're talking, of course, about COVID-19 and the antiviral drug used to combat it, Paxlovid. That pill was originally meant to be a treatment for COVID patients most at risk for complications. But now, it's seemingly everywhere. We look at the use of that COVID treatment and whether it's the wonder drug it's made out to be. The treatments for the disease that has plagued us for more than 2 years continue to evolve. We're hearing of other COVID-19 treatments and preventatives on the horizon, everything from a new vaccine to a pill that acts as a vaccine. And just recently, there's been research into a chewing gum that could eliminate the virus from your mouth and throat. But what about that worst case scenario? Hospitalization, intubation, incurable lung damage? We've got the director of the UCLA Lung Transplant Program with us to talk about whether those transplants are exploding in the age of COVID and what the impact of the disease has been on donor organs. All of this on Fox 11 News in Depth, which starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, in for myself for the first time in weeks after recovering from hand surgery. And despite dodging COVID for over 2 years, it finally got me. Before going on, I just want to thank Christine Devine, Bob DeCastro, and Marla Tejas, who all sat in for me while I was out on medical leave. And a special thanks to our producer, Hunter Lowry, who ended up with a lot more work as a result of having to deal with all of the special guest hosts. But bottom line is, I want to thank this guy that you're about to meet. His name is Dr. Anthony Cardillo. And he sort of walked me through my episode of COVID. I'd say you almost held my hand because we were talking every day. That must have been annoying. I wasn't that
not
bad, though,
all,
huh? I wasn't that bad a patient.
Not at all.
All right.
You were a beautiful patient.
No, thank you. Dr. Cardillo is the CEO and owner of the Mend Urgent Cares. We're lucky to be in a different place these days, doctor, because it's not like it was a couple of years ago. And I'd like to ask you first, what are you seeing at your urgent care locations?
Hal, you're absolutely right. It's a much different, in fact, I call it COVID-22 as opposed to COVID-19. What's happening here is we do have a lot of people who are getting sick with COVID because we've opened up. It's reasonable to think this is going to happen. They're just not as sick. We don't have as many people that are dying. We're not intubating as many people. We're not hospitalizing as many people. But we do have a large number of people that are getting sick. But luckily, the majority are vaccinated, and they do well over the course of that illness.
Now we know that this is an easier-to-get variant, and the B5. And so are you seeing a larger patient load at your centers, say, than before this thing really got going?
You know how every time it's mutated, we do see this spike. But with the BA5, we are seeing a lot of people. But you have to be cautious in assessing that because that has happened at the same time that we've opened up and we are traveling, schools are open, camps are open. People are really, you know, doing a lot more as far as being out and about. And that's really leading to the spread and the velocity that we're seeing over time.
You know, I'll be honest, I have no idea where I got it, who I walked past, whether it was on the sidewalk taking a walk or running into the grocery store for a minute. But all of a sudden, I had it. My symptoms included congestion and coughing, this fatigue that still seems to be lingering on. There was stomach upset. There was fever for a couple of days. It wasn't that bad, but that's likely because I'm fully vaccinated. President Biden got COVID. We know that. And he was given the antiviral drug called Paxlovid. I was given that, too, at your centers. And you know, I think I told you it was like a magic pill. It was like 24 to 36 hours, and I didn't feel anything at all. That's the empty box. So I have proof I took it. But I'm going to tell you, it just snapped those symptoms away. Tell us about that. You know, it wasn't first designed to be for everyone. Now it seems to be like everyone's being given this. It seems like pharmacists are now able to give it without a doctor's prescription. You guys are giving it at urgent care. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, certainly. And I will tell you that most patients are echoing exactly what you said. They start taking it in a very short period of time. They feel remarkably better. And that's no wonder because this drug is actually targeting the replication of the virus. So it shuts down that replication. It blocks it immediately. And your body's immune system can do what it does best. And that's kind of make you you know, feel better and get you back on track. Now, the distribution of the medication did start with President Biden's release of the Test to Treat program, meaning that there were going to be locations, primarily pharmacies and clinics, that they were going to test patients and then have the medication on hand at the facility to treat immediately, as opposed to having to write a prescription and go to the pharmacy to pick it up. That was very beneficial in getting a lot of patients treated early on. Mend Urgent Care in the Valley became one of the first centers to do that on the clinic side, but there are a lot of pharmacies that are distributing the medication. And then the government did allow the pharmacies also to get this medication out, which is really great for our community because it just gives us access, easier access. And certainly all of those pharmacists had direct communication with medical professionals if there was a question, primarily revolving around other medication interactions. If a person was on other medications that had to be stopped during the administration of the Paxlovid.
Right, because I was questioned as to what my medications were that I took, and I was on one of the medications. It was, you can't take that for a few days until you get past this. It's a five-day course. You take three pills in the morning, you take three pills in the evening, and it's made up of two different antiviral medications?
Exactly. And one of them, actually, it's not really antiviral. What it's doing is it's attacking the liver enzyme systems. Now, remember, the liver is very important in metabolizing and excreting all of the medications that we take. Some are excreted elsewhere, but primarily the liver is a powerhouse in metabolizing medications. So what the first portion of the Paxlovid does is it slows down that process. So the liver doesn't metabolize the other component of the Paxlovid. Concentrations of that other component, because we're slowing down the, and that's where the interaction comes in. Because you can imagine if you're taking, for example, a blood thinner and you slow down the metabolism and the excretion of that blood thinner, well, your concentrations are going to get really high in your system, and that could be a big problem.
Let me break in for a second, because I want to ask you two questions when we come back after the break. One, I want to know if you're seeing among those patients that are getting Paxlovid, if they're seeing the same sort of magic effect that all of a sudden 24 to 36 hours and the symptoms are gone. And the other thing I want to ask you is about some new drugs, some new medications. One I'm really curious about is a chewing gum. We'll be back on Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and according to the CDC, between 26 and 37 million U.S. adults still remain completely unvaccinated against COVID-19. But there's hope that a newly released vaccine may change that. Just recently, the CDC officially approved the two-dose Novavax vaccine. Unlike Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines, which use the newer mRNA technology, the Novavax formula is really created using more conventional protein methods. That might convince some of the resistors to get that shot. Still with us is Mend Urgent Care CEO, Dr. Anthony Cardillo. And I did want to ask you those other two questions. I also want to ask you about these drugs. So first of all, in your centers, short answers, in your centers, are you seeing a lot of the patients who are taking Paxlovid having an experience like I did, which is 24 to 36 hours, symptoms are gone?
Exactly. The majority of patients are having exactly that process.
Okay. And about these other drugs, which I think is very important, there's a pill undergoing clinical trials right now, and that pill, I believe the name is Vaxart. And what do we know about that? There's also another thing we're going to talk about, a chewing gum. But tell me about Vaxart first.
Yeah, this is a very unique platform for a vaccine. One of the other oral vaccines we've had in the past is the oral polio vaccine. Most vaccines are injectable. This is an oral preparation. It's coated, so it gets through the entire stomach acid. And it does its work in the small intestines. So what it's doing, it's activating the mucosal immunity, okay? And that's a very powerful immunity, another type of antibodies that we create. It's the IgA antibodies. And it's attacking that component of our immune system to actually start activating our immunity. And that's a real novel approach. And I think we're going to have a great success with this oral preparation, primarily with children, that don't do too well with the injections, or those that are very elderly as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that polio vaccine when I was a little kid, 150,000 years ago, give or take. It was on a sugar cube, and I remember being in school, and they would give us a little sugar cube with the polio vaccine on it. I want to ask you about Novavax. What can you tell us about that?
Okay, this is another unique approach. Now, you're correct in stating that a lot of patients early on were a little hesitant on this new mRNA technology, even in the medical community, because it was new. This new Novavax is a traditional protein-based vaccine platform, meaning that we just take a little bit of the protein from the virus, and we put that into a little, you know, vehicle that gets injected, a chemical vehicle, and then your body recognizes that protein as the invader, and it mounts an immune response against the actual protein. Remember, the mRNA technology and even the J&J technology, we're inserting genetic material that's capitalizing and hijacking our own muscle cells to then make that very protein. In this scenario, we're actually injecting the protein that your body responds to. Very well-known and well-studied mechanism for vaccines.
All right, another mechanism for some kind of medication is chewing gum.
Yeah, this is sort of very interesting, and I like the novel approaches. What they've done in this case is that we know that the virus itself, it likes to gain entry into our cells through this what we call ACE receptor. We've been hearing about this over the last 2 years, this little receptor that the virus likes to bind to, and that's how it gains entry into the cells. What they've done is they're using sort of lettuce cells, interestingly enough, and they're putting a lot of those ACE receptors into those lettuce cells. And then that becomes the main component of the chewing gum. So as you're chewing that gum, the COVID virus gets all popped up with all of those ACE receptors that are in those lettuce cells. It's a phenomenal technology, and it's working beautifully in the test tube.
I have to ask you about immunity. You know, what our director, Sebastian DeMont, was asking me before the show, getting COVID, do you get the antibodies that we did a couple of years ago? Because a couple of years ago, people say, well, if I get it, I get the antibodies, I'm good for a while. Is that still the case?
You know, every time you get infected, you are having antibodies against that particular strain. And as long as you don't have massive genetic, you know, shifts, and if it's just drifting a little bit, you are covered for the most part, and you do have those antibodies, meaning that the next time you get exposed, you may get sick, but you're not going to be deathly ill. And that's this five-year process that we're going through in this pandemic, and it really is like a five-year process until everyone has actually either been vaccinated or exposed several times over, sort of like the flu. Everyone, you know, we enter the flu season, and we may get sick. It's not always deadly as COVID was, right? We still have some deaths with people that are vulnerable, but it's the same process. Years have to go by. Our bodies have to have enough antibodies against multiple strains before we can get through this pandemic.
I have one more thought here I want to talk about, and we only have less than a minute. And that's, to me, this B5 variant seems to be like Velcro. You walk by somebody, and it's like, tag, you're it.
Exactly. And it's highly transmissible. And that's how these viruses mutate. This is part of that mutation process. Remember, these viruses are trying to stay alive themselves, okay? Genetically, so to speak. And that's how they do it, by very, very easy transmissibility. I think all of us that have had COVID throughout this last year, you realize it was something that happened very quickly in casual contact. And that's why we have to remain vigilant as we get through this pandemic process, washing hands, wearing masks, being mindful about how we're coming into close contact with others.
And important to be aware of things like medications like Paxlovid. Dr. Anthony Cardillo, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for holding my hand through this whole COVID bout that I had, and appreciate your time today.
It was a pleasure taking care of you, Hal.
All right, we'll continue with Fox 11 News in depth. The COVID-19 pandemic has taken a toll on the health of many vulnerable people, and it's done massive damage to the lungs of a number of those patients. We look at the last-ditch remedy that has saved the lives of some of those patients, lung transplants. We'll be talking about that right after the break. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Every 9 minutes, an American is added to the organ transplant list. Did you know that? And each day, around 17 people die waiting for an organ. Now with COVID-19 wreaking havoc on sufferers' bodies, how has that impacted the fate of those who may need a transplant, especially lungs? Dr. Abbas Ardahali is the director of the UCLA Heart, Lung, and Heart-Lung Transplant Program. And thanks so much for joining us, Doctor. To me, this is very, very important what we're about to talk about. I'd like to know, first of all, can you tell us about those figures we just mentioned?
Good afternoon, Hal. It's great to be with you. As you correctly point out, there is an absolute shortage of donor organs, and many organ transplant recipients unfortunately pass away while waiting. With the pandemic, it has also impacted the donor pool. In other words, we have many donors who have acquired COVID, and they may not be good candidates, especially for lung transplant donors, because we obviously do not want to use the donor lungs that are impacted with COVID. So we have to take extra precautions for donors that potentially have COVID. When it comes to heart transplant or liver transplant or kidney transplant, we have learned that we can use those COVID donors. But when it comes to lung transplant, we take extra precautions to minimize the potential transfer of a COVID-infected donor lungs to a recipient.
You know, the most recent statistics we found show that organ transplants are increasing every year. More than 40,000 in 2021 are organ donors keeping pace. And did you see a noticeable increase in transplants since that beginning of the COVID-19 crisis?
Yeah, it's ironic in that we actually have seen increased number of potential donors. And I think that the credit has to go to the generosity of families who, at a time of a tragedy, they opt to donate their loved ones' organs. And it's indeed at a time of tragedy, this generosity makes a difference in that it can save many lives.
But your thought is, though, that the COVID definitely came along and made things worse.
It definitely made things worse. And we have had, obviously, donors who had COVID, but they were able to be kidney donors or liver donors. We have a large number of potential young donors that have become other organ donors. But it's very important to emphasize that it is the philanthropy of the donor families that makes it all possible. And I think the heroes are those donors and their families who have opted to donate at a time of a tragedy.
So tell us a little bit about the rash of need for lung donors.
As you can imagine, with patients who acquire COVID, and generally speaking, there are two consequences with a COVID infection. One is that many patients like yourself or I, who had acquired an episode of COVID, would recover and we do okay with that. However, a small proportion of the patients, probably less than 10%, they develop this devastating complication of injured lungs. And many of these patients either end up in the ICU or on a machine on a ventilator. And many of those do still recover. A small proportion of those develop this very severe form of lung disease that they are not able to recover from, and they may need lung transplantation.
You know,
and these are the cohort of patients that, although small, but it's a consequence of acquiring the disease, especially in non-vaccinated individuals, that may lead to this devastating complication.
I have to ask you, because I'm curious. I've talked to a couple people recently who were in a situation where they had lungs affected by COVID. This can also be long COVID, right, where you get some lung damage or some lung infection. It stays with you for a while. But it's a step before you get to a point where you just flat out have to have another lung.
Correct. And a small proportion of these patients actually have severe form. They end up in the ICU. They need to be on a machine. But many more, as a consequence of acquiring COVID, they develop this chronic form of, as you said, the long COVID syndrome. And part of the COVID syndrome, in addition to fatigue and other symptoms, is related to pulmonary or lung symptoms. Many of these patients can stay and remain functional, However, a small proportion of these patients, especially those with previous lung disease, they may develop chronic fibrosis of the lungs that ultimately may end up getting lung transplantation. But we are fortunate that the numbers are not that many so far, but we think that we would see a larger number of these patients in the months and years to come.
I have to ask you about another organ, the heart. I mean, has COVID impacted people's hearts to the point that that was a donation that needed to be made?
Indeed, Hal. I think that we have seen many patients, especially young, unvaccinated individuals, who developed the COVID syndrome and that it impacts their hearts to the point that the heart doesn't work and it becomes so weak that they need to be supported with machines. We have, at UCLA, we have done several of these patients who have needed heart transplants, and fortunately, everyone has done well subsequent to the procedure.
Just a quick 10-second answer here. B5, we've been talking about that this half hour. It's more transmissible, but it's less problematic. So does that sort of suggest that when we get to lung infections, needs for donation, that sort of thing, that maybe this will start to slack off a little bit?
Well, that's our hope. We don't know that yet, but I'm optimistic that with greater adoption of vaccination and earlier care that we deliver, we will have less devastating complications related to lung injury due to COVID.
Dr. Abbas Ardahali, thank you so much for joining us. Like, again, they pulled you out of an important meeting just to be with us. And so thanks again, and have a great day. And Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the How, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us, and we'll leave you with some of those spectacular images from the James Webb Space Telescope, which we'll be talking about more on an upcoming show. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.